Good morning, everybody. It's great to see y'all. Y'all awake? Can I get y'all to stand up with us? We sing about our freedom in Christ. Not bound by sin anymore. Come on, guys, put your hands together. Let's sing.
Through you, the blind will see. Through you, the mute will see. Through you, the dead will rise. Through you, all hearts will praise. Through you, the darkness flees. Through you, my heart screams, I am.
Guys, repeat after me.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
All right, we're going to sing it again.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Sing that verse, guys. The Bible says that who the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are free this morning. Let's sing that chorus.
I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
Come on, guys.
I am free.
Oh, I am free to run.
I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
Amen.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
Come on, sing it again.
I am free.
Lord, I am free.
I am free.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Wow. Turn around and shake your neighbor's hand. Say hi. Wow. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You can be seated. I don't know about you guys, but that is one of my new most favorite songs. I don't know if it's just where I am in my walk with the Lord, but you know, for so many years, I just marveled at the forgiveness of sin that I had in Christ Jesus and gloried in that to know that all of my sin is forgiven. But boy, when you start realizing that you're not only forgiven of sin, but you're actually free from the power of sin, that's an amazing thought, amen? And because of Jesus Christ, you and I have been set free from sin. And what a picture. I hope you can still remember when you used to be shackled by sin and you couldn't do what you wanted to do. You were not free to live a life that glorifies God, and now you've been set free, amen? What a thought. Welcome this morning to our 8 o'clock worship service here at Hardin Baptist Church. We hope and trust that you're awake now. That song will wake you up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And you're ready to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you're a guest this morning, a special welcome to you from the family of God here at Hardin. We'd like to recognize you. There's some men going to stand up in the front of our congregation right now, and they're going to turn around and they're going to look for you if you're a guest. If you're a guest of ours today, do you mind just raising your hand just above your shoulders as these guys come back to where you're at? They're going to place a guest card in your hand. They're going to give you a pencil as well. If you don't mind, take that pencil and that guest card, and if you would fill that out on our next song. And then at the end of our worship service, we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. And at that time, we would like for you to place that guest card into the offering plate so that we can have a record of you being with us. And hopefully, it'll help us put names and faces together. So if you don't care, just list each one of the family members that are here this morning, because we try really hard Hardin to get to know you and to be able to put names and faces together. You guys ready to worship the Lord? He's here. We're here. Worship ought to be taking place. Amen. Let's bow in His presence and just acknowledge our awareness that He is here and He is who He is. Father, wow. I just love this day. And Father, I think I would love it even if I was not a minister. Because Father, I don't believe the reason I really love it is because I get to bring Your word three times this morning. I really believe it's because I just, as a saint of Yours, enjoy and need the fellowship of the saints. And Father, it's not just about me coming here to get my needs met. I usually always do. But it's about just joining together with my brothers and sisters in Christ and turning my attention to You. I mean, You know I enjoy those times of personal worship through the week. But it just can't take the place of the whole body getting together. So, Father, now we want to be aware of who You are, and we want to turn our attention to You, and we want to continue to worship You. In the name of Your Son, amen.
Amen.
There is not a mother, sister, friend, or brother who loves the way that Jesus can. When He died on Calvary, He gave His life for fallen man. His love is the boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity. Love You, there is none above You, You are precious in His sight. He will never fail You, when the doubts assail You, He'll go with You day and night. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last through all eternity. His love.
Thanks, guys. Amen. Most of you guys know all these people. Joe Moreland, Ron Lyles, and his better half, Miss Sandra Lyles, back there on the piano and singing. All right. Okay, can I get you all to stand up with us again, please? Brother Ricky's going to be preaching out of Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, verses 1 through 3, I believe, and talking about running the race for the Lord, laying down aside the things that hinder us. So this song, although you're going to know it, you may think of it a little differently. Think of it more maybe Bible school, but it really fits. So as we sing these words, think about your walk with the Lord, okay? Let's sing, guys.
Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the
the sign.
At the sign of triumph, Satan's hold doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shouts of praise.
When fears are still and striving cease.
Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence right now, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, it is in you alone that we have life. It's not by our strength. It's not by our power that we live this life. It's not by anything that we have done that we have hope for eternity. Jesus, it is by your blood alone, by your amazing love. I'm so thankful no power of hell, no scheme of any man can pluck me out of your hand, Jesus. I am yours, and I am yours alone. Thank you so much for that. We bow, and we worship you, and we honor you. Jesus, in your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. This morning, as we take our Bibles and open to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verses 1 through 4, we are actually going to find ourselves stepping out of the Hebrew Hall of Faith and into one of the great European Colosseums. As we look out and see the Colosseum, we will quickly look down and notice this morning that we are actually standing on the track itself. Now, normally when you finish a tour, it creates within you an appetite. Do you not agree? Just about every tour you ever go on, when the tour is over, you are hungry. And someone always asks the question, are we ready to eat? But this morning, the question is not, are we ready to eat? The question this morning that will be foremost on our mind is this: are we ready to run? Are we ready to run? Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily clings closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Guys, the writer immediately reminds us that we are in a race. Now, in our English translation, it's sometimes not easy to choose the main verb. But I must draw to your attention that as we analyze this passage this morning, the main thought of verses 1 and 2. As a matter of fact, the only verb in verses 1 and 2 is run the race. Run the race. Do you guys realize that we have been called to run? After spending months touring the Hebrew Hall of Faith, as we now find ourselves in the great arena of life, the writer challenges not only this young Jewish house church, but he challenges us to run the race. This word race, you need to underline it, because it's the Greek word agon, from which we get our English word agony from. Now some of you are saying, how in the world would agon, agony, be translated by the word race? Well, think about it. In a track and field event, there are many different types of races. But which race of all of the races would best be characterized by the element of agony or agonizing? Do you not quickly agree it would not be the 100-yard dash? It would not be the 110-meter hurdles, but it would be that race of all races, the marathon. 26.2 miles, where the runner steps into the starting line in front of a great coliseum of people, only to quickly leave the Colosseum and go out into the countryside, and after 26.2 miles, find himself coming back into the Colosseum and crossing the finish line. As much as we could wish that the Christian life was a sprint, it's not. It's a marathon. Now, when we think about the Christian life being a marathon, what is the one quality you really need to finish a marathon? Would you not agree it's endurance? This is why the writer says, run with endurance the race. Run with endurance the race. The word endurance here is the Greek word hypomone, which means to remain under. It's the picture of the ancient weightlifter who lifts a weight but is not given credit for the lift until he can lock out his arms and lock out his legs and remain under that weight for a short period of time. As you and I run the Christian race, as we live the Christian life, what we need is to run with perseverance, to run with endurance, that ability to keep on keeping on. As I study the great reformers of the faith, one of the things that they talked about and one of the key elements that's emphasized in our study of the book of Hebrews is the need of perseverance. For see, one of the qualities that always follows faith is the quality of perseverance. Now, we've kind of turned this thing around in our English churches and in our Baptist churches. You don't hear us talk about perseverance of the saints very much, but you do hear us talk a lot about once saved, always saved, or security of a believer, correct? Now, we need to be careful here, because when we talk about security of the believer, we are saying that we are secure in Christ because of the work of God the Father and the work of the Son and the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But we also need to understand that while we are secure in Christ because of faith in Jesus Christ and because of the grace of God, on our side there is an element that must persist in our life, and it is the element of endurance. It's the element of perseverance. A true believer in Jesus Christ will not and cannot ever quit in life. Why? Because life's not a sprint. It's not about giving your all for a short period of time and then stopping and doing something else for a while. Life is a marathon. Notice this. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. I hate to tell you this, but you didn't choose this race. God chose it for you. I will never forget being a freshman at Callaway County High School and going out for the track team. And I made a choice. I chose to be on the track team. And when I chose to be on the track team, I had kind of visualized running the sprints. Because in my neighborhood of East Callaway, when I ran against the cousins and I ran against my sister, to be honest with you, I was pretty fast. And I kind of thought like the thought of that 100-yard dash. You know, it's over for me in less than 15 seconds. Amen? You give it all you've got for 100 yards, and then you get to rest. But my track coach assigned me not to the sprints. Imagine that. I actually got assigned to the half mile, mile, and 2 mile, what's called the distance races. I will never forget as a freshman, the first time I ever ran 2 miles in my life was in my first race. Needless to say, I did not fare very well in that race. Now, I believe with all of my heart, you made a conscious choice to respond to the moving of God in your life, and you chose Christ. Amen? But guys, listen. You don't choose the course God has set before you. And you don't choose the race. The race has been orchestrated, it's been designed, it's been chosen by God for you with you in mind. Now, you need to keep this in mind. Yes, we all come before the Colosseum of the saints on the starting line, but once we leave the Colosseum, we all go in different directions. I'll never forget several years ago when I was training for a marathon that I did not actually run. Mike Pullen helped choose for me the marathon that he thought would best fit me. He chose one down in Alabama that he said is a good, easy starting out marathon. Have you noticed how sometimes when we come to faith in Christ, some of us have a course to where immediately after salvation, it was almost like the course went downhill, and man, without any effort, it was just glorious. Didn't break a sweat to the first 2 or 3 years in your Christian walk. Some of us started out not downhill, but we had that long, flat stretch, and we went for years, 10, 12 years, and it was just easy. And then I look around at some of my brothers and sisters in Christ, and immediately upon professing Christ, it was like they had this huge mountain in the first mile of their life. And it seems like it's been uphill ever since. You and I do not make the determination of the course that's set before us. And this is why we must run with endurance the race set before us. And guys, you got to learn to run at your own pace. One of the biggest mistakes runners make is trying to run someone else's pace. My friend Damon just finished a half marathon in Nashville, and when I was talking to Damon, one of the things Damon struggled with was runners either too fast that he tried to run with or runners too slow that he tried to run with. Every runner knows that if you're going to run the race, you've got to run your pace. Because if you try to run at someone else's pace, you'll either go out too fast and you won't have enough to finish, or you'll be too slow and you will not accomplish what God has designed for you to accomplish in life. Some of you old timers have heard me tell before, but for you new folks, I'll never forget learning this lesson the hard way. I was at Paducah Tillman High School. It was the regional finals of my first year in track. And only the top three went to state. And I had finished third in every track meet I had ran in my freshman year except the first one. But I always finished behind Tommy Future, Randy McCallan, and then me. We were all on the same team. During the year, we never ran against Paducah Tillman. And in this particular event, Paducah Tillman was there, and they were regional the champions. And they had won the distance races state competition for several years in a row. And I had decided that I was going to finish third in the regional half mile. Never forget it. I lined up, and I stood right beside these two boys from Paducah Tillman, and when I turned, I was at their belly button. They were designed for distance. I don't know if any of you are athletes here, but if you're an athlete, you look at me, and you got to think my coach made a mistake putting me in the distance because I'm not designed for that kind of running. But I decided if they were going to finish first and second and I was going to go to the regional, I was going to have to stick with them and be closer to them than anybody else. And I will never forget, we took off. Now, the half-a-mile event was two times around a 440 track. Now, I had been running for less than half a semester. And we took off, and to be totally honest with you, through the first 200 yards, I was fine. It was Paducah Tillman, and Ricky. But I quickly realized something. Being of the stature that I was and the stature they were, for every stride they were making, I was taking three. They were loping around the track the first 200 yards, and I was in a dead sprint. Have any of you ever seriously sprinted for 200 yards? 300? How about 440 yards? So then when we came around that first lap, I was in third place, and I'll never forget the Callaway County cheering section, all 11 of them were going crazy. Now, it may have been in my mind only, but I could hear them saying, Ricky, 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 and upset was in the making because it was Tillman, and everybody expected to be Tommy Future, but it wasn't. It was Ricky Cunningham, and wow, we were blowing the field away. But as I came by the halfway point of the race, and I looked up into the stands, and I looked back, and they thought I was looking so good, I knew on the inside it was over. Guys, there was nothing left in the tank. You should have seen the look on the faces of Randy and Tommy when they passed me in that last lap, and I know they was thinking, ew, I'm not going to say what they were thinking. Be careful who you hook up with to run the Christian life. Because God has designed a course for you, and He's designed a pace that's right for you. Now, I want you to watch this. That's the main point of the passage. What's the main point of the passage? Run the race. Run it with what? Run it with endurance. And run according to the course that God has chosen for you, and be comfortable with your pace. That's it. That's the main thought. However, we got three participle modifiers. You thought we were finished. We're not. See, when we look at these two verses, it's masterful in the Greek language. Sometimes, because of our poor English skills, we don't notice it in the English as much. For see, the main verb is run the race. But he's got three descriptive phrases that are participles that tell us how to be successful in running the race. And the first one is in the first verse. Therefore, since, or therefore, seeing. And then he's going to say, laying aside. And then he's going to say, looking to. See, those are going to be the three participles. Seeing, lay aside, and looking. Let's examine each one of them. The first thing we're called to do is to see the great cloud of witnesses. See, we're standing in a great coliseum. And there is seat after seat after seat, row after row after row of witnesses. Now, guys, this word witness is where we get our English word martyr from, not where we get our English word spectator from. That's important. See, there's a teaching going around that actually teaches that the saints in heaven get to look down at us running the race of life, and it's based on this verse, and that's not true. I cannot imagine how it would bring any joy to somebody in heaven to look down and watch Ricky Cunningham fail miserably at living the Christian life. Do you? This verse is not teaching that God has surrounded us with spectators who are watching us run the race. Therefore, we ought to run the race because Moses and Elijah and Elisha and David and Samuel and Samson and Moses and Enoch and Noah and Abel are watching. No. The life they have lived for us serve as a witness for us to look at. Notice, we are seeing them. It does not say they are seeing us. Amen? So as I step into the starting line of my race, wow, there's Daniel. Shut the mouth of lions. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wow. Furnace heated up 7 times hotter than it's ever been, and they went in and came out, and in the midst of that fire, there appeared one like the Son of God. Amen? Do you get this? This isn't talking about heaven looking upward or downward, but it's talking about earth looking upward. So I step into the Colosseum and I see how these great Old Testament saints have ran the race of life. Let me make it real personal for you. If you're a believer, it ought to inspire you to read about the Old Testament saints. Let me tell you what it'll do for you. Do any of you play golf? I love watching the Masters. I think it's my favorite of all golf tournaments. Even though I've been to the British Open, I actually believe it's my favorite golf tournament. And I'll tell you what happens to me when I watch the Masters. I mean, this year when Zach Johnson upsets Tiger Woods for the Masters crown, that's inspiring to me. Amen. Now, a few years ago, when I saw my buddy Phil Mickelson beat Tiger Woods, that was really inspiring. As a matter of fact, it inspired me so much that I went out and tried to beat my wife in golf. Amen? Because she and I are kind of equal. She's a little better than me, but from time to time, I have my moment like Phil does. But now this year, well, it was unbelievable. An absolutely nobody held off the charge of Tiger Woods. Is that not incredible? You know what that made me want to do? It made me want to go out and play Scott Clark. It made me want to go play Bill one day because it lets me know that, hey, just maybe. Any of you ever watched the Tour de France? Is Lance Armstrong an amazing machine or what? I don't know why it is, but my wife gets ready every year in July when the Tour de France is on. Do you know what I do? I get my road bike out. Now, I don't ride it, but I get it out. And I actually get inspired. I get motivated. See, this is what the writer is doing for us. The writer is trying to motivate us. He's trying to inspire us that as we come to the starting line, not to think we're the only one running, not to think that the Christian life is impossible, but look into the stands, see those great witnesses, and realize you and I can do it too. Amen? See, if we're going to run the race, we've got to see the cloud. And we got to lay aside two things. First, every weight. Now, guys, here comes the tough part. It's one thing to pull out your Old Testament, read about the Old Testament saints and the great life they live, but now we get down to the nitty-gritty. For see, when those great runners came into the Colosseum, two things they had already done or were going to do before they actually took off for a 26.2-mile race. And one thing was they would lay aside weight. Now, commentators believe that this may be referring to those ankle weights and wrist weights that a lot of runners used in training. Kind of like the baseball player, you know, when he's in the, what do you call that, circle? The batter's box, you know what I'm saying? Not the batter's box, the thing before that. The on-deck circle, yes. He swings a couple of baseball bats. They never let a guy bat with two bats. Why does he swing that other bat? Why does he put that round donut on the end of the bat? Because it's weight. Now, he always hits it on the ground, discards one of the bats before he gets into the batter's box. Why? So that that bat will seem light as a feather. So this may be referring to those ankle weights and wrist weights that the runner wore. You wouldn't train with those and then run 26.2 miles with them, correct? You discard them. But the word actually means bulk or hindrance. Can I give you another insight? Yes, I believe you should disregard the weights if you're picked up some. But if you've ever been a runner or have ever read anything about runners, you know that runners have what they call a running weight that's optimal for them. Guarantee if you went up to Mike Pullen this morning and asked him what his running weight is, he can tell you. Guarantee if you talked to Damon Eastwood this morning, he can tell you what his running weight is. There is a weight that a guy is comfortable with that he knows he has just what he needs and he doesn't have anything in excess. See, in our preparation for running the race, some of us aren't fit to run at all. Can I say this nicely? We've got a little pudgy. Right? We've been eating too many Snickers and too many ding-dongs and too many chocolate pies. And we are out of shape. The guy that actually runs the marathon lays aside the Snickers and the ding-dongs and the chocolate pies. He actually eats those foods that are going to serve as a fuel to him to run 26.2 miles because I'm telling you, Snickers and ding-dongs run out of energy real quick. See, if we're going to run a marathon and finish well, it's got to be a lifestyle change. Because in life, some of us have just picked up some things that actually hinder. And that's what the writer's talking about here. Can we stop just for a moment and have a moment of inspection? When it comes to the Christian life, what have you picked up in life that actually slows you down? Anything coming to mind? Be honest. Do you know there used to be some people that's in the church that's not in the church anymore? Because the next thing you know, a boat came into their life, or a camper came into their life, or more money came into their life, or a different activity came into their life. And the next thing you know, they're no more concentrating on the Christian life. They're now thinking about other things. Guys, the metaphor the writer uses for the Christian life is an agonizing ordeal. And you know what we're doing in the American church? You know what we're doing right here at Hardin? We're choosing the easy way out. And some of us, if we're not careful, we're not going to finish. Because there are some things that have come into our life that's actually hindering us from finishing life. Now, I wonder who'd be bold enough this morning to say, I'm going to lay that aside. And right now in your mind, you'll reach down and you'll take that thing and you'll lay it aside. Because you don't want to be hindered. After you've taken off the weight, he says, and lay aside the sin which, New King James says, entangles us. ESV says, closely clings. But I like the old King James best here because you know what it says? Which so easily besets us. I can remember at church the old-timers talking about a besetting sin. Have you ever heard the old-timers talk about a besetting sin? No? Raise your hand if you've heard of that. Wow, we're going to stop and have a lesson right here. I thought everybody had heard that phrase. We're in King James country and no one's heard that phrase? Amazing. See, a besetting sin and the sin which so easily entangles us or so easily clings closely or besets us is the picture of the athlete before he starts to run the race. He strips himself of his warm-up outfit. Now, his warm-up outfit back in those days was not Nike or Adidas, but he had this long, handmade, flowing robe. Now, I can't imagine anyone starting a 26.2-mile race and running with a robe on. Do you agree? As a matter of fact, you know that in Greek society, the runners ran almost naked. It's almost embarrassing sometimes to watch our track and field events, is it not? Because those runners do not want any resistance. For see, if you was running a 26.2-mile race and you had a long robe on, guess what that robe might have the ability to do? It might have the ability to trip you up and cause you to fall on your face. And I don't know if you've ever fell in a race, but I'm going to tell you something. When you're in that runner's stride and you fall, it's tough to get up and get back going. That's why in the Christian life, when you fall on your face, it takes a little while to get up, doesn't it? It's tough, isn't it? Now, I want you to listen to this. Listen to what he says. He doesn't say lay aside sins. He said, lay aside the sin which so easily besets us. You know what I believe this is talking about? I think for each one of us in here this morning, there's a sin that we struggle with more than other sins. And that's the sin to us. Now, we're not going to have any confessions this morning. But you know what it is, don't you? Come on, guys, be honest. For some of you, it's pornography. For some of you, it's lust. For some of you ladies, it's your tongue, isn't it? Gossip. Lying. For others, it's alcohol. For someone else, it's drugs. For someone else, it's pride. Can we just go on and on and on? Of course we could. But you know what I find amazing? What some of you struggle with, I don't struggle with. Have no struggle at all in that area of my life. And yet there's some areas in my life that I struggle with that some of you don't struggle in. Why is that? Because we're different. We have a different flesh. Now, don't you listen to me. Each one of us who are running the marathon have a sin that if we don't deal with, somewhere during our life, it'll trip us up and we'll fall flat on our face and we'll bring great embarrassment not only to ourselves but to the kingdom of God. Amen? Don't be foolish. Don't think you can keep running and deal with this while you're running. You deal with it today. Because if we're going to get ready to run and finish the race God has set before us, we've got to not only lay aside what hinders, we've got to lay aside that sin. And we need to do it this morning. Deal with it once and for all. And then he says, not only do we run the race by seeing, and not only do we run the race by laying aside, but watch this, we run the race by looking to Jesus. See, when we come into the arena, we glance at those before us and we get motivated and we get inspired and we're ready to run. But you don't run looking at Moses. And you don't run looking at Paul. And you don't run looking at Brother Ricky. You know who you look to? You look to Jesus. Now I'll tell you what I believe with all of my heart. I believe that all of our leaders and all of us as mature Christians ought to be living a life that we can say like Paul, look at me for I'm following Christ. Amen? But I have not met a Christian yet who from time to time in his walk with Christ has not veered off the course, have you? I have not met a Christian yet who from time to time they get in a certain situation, they make a certain response, and I'm blown out of the water. I'm thinking, how could they do that? They've walked with the Lord 30 years. How could they do that? See, if you run with your eyes on the saints, you'll get disappointed. And if you're gazing at somebody who runs off course, you're going to run off course with them and you won't even realize it. No. You run with the other saints. But while you're running with the other saints, you keep your eye on Jesus. This word looking is different from the one in verse 1. This word looking means to look away from everything else and fix your gaze on Him. So as I leave the Colosseum after being motivated to run the race that God has set before me, who am I going to keep my eyes on? I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Wow. Why am I going to keep my eyes on Jesus? Because He is the author and the finisher of my faith. Amen. He is the pioneer, so to speak. See, this word author literally means He is the one who goes on ahead and blazes the trail. So Jesus is the pioneer not of faith. Watch this. He is the pioneer of our faith. Now, how is Jesus the pioneer of Brother Ricky's faith? Here's how He's the pioneer of my faith. He's the one that went ahead of me and has already lived the life so that when I look at Him, guess what it creates in me? It creates in me faith. Wow. I would not be doing what I'm doing if it was not for Jesus Christ. Amen? If I could just be totally honest with you, if I had had my eye on other Christians, I'd have quit a long time ago. Amen? If I can say this, when you see someone quit the church, they got their eye on the wrong person. Amen? We do not quit the church. Why? Because that's the crowd we're running around with. Amen? That's the crowd we got to run with. We don't choose family. God chose family for us. Amen? We're all in this together. But while we're running, I don't keep my eye on my brother. I keep my eye on Jesus, the older brother who went and has already run the race, and He creates faith in me. But He doesn't just create a faith that causes me to want to start running and continue to run. He is the actual finisher or perfecter of my faith. In other words, He brings my faith to maturity. You ever seen somebody go through something that if it happened to you, you'd have probably quit, but they didn't? Here's what's happening. They're in an advanced stage of you. They probably said the same thing early in their life, but when you run with Jesus and you keep your eye on Jesus, He just has a way of bringing your faith that's very small in the beginning, and He just has this way of growing it and growing it and growing it and bringing it to a full place of maturity. I have no doubt those of us who are in Jesus Christ will cross the finish line. Amen. Why? Because our faith is originating from Jesus. Who? See, when you look at Jesus, you got to realize this. What motivated Him? Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. See that word endure? Now, guys, if I can be totally honest with you, I do not think it was pleasant to die on a cross. Do you? I've thought about this before. I believe there's a reason why God doesn't tell us the day we're going to die, because I think if we knew the day we were going to die, I don't think any of us could enjoy the days we've got. Does that make sense? If I knew I was going to die at 47, I probably couldn't enjoy. If God told me you're going to live to 95, that'd be hanging over my head. Jesus knew when He was going to die. And He knew how He was going to die. And you know what He did? He endured. He kept on keeping on. Do you know why He kept on keeping on? Do you know why He could despise the shame? For the joy set before Him. Now, there's a lot of debate over what the joy is. And my opinion's as good as anybody else's, amen? And yours is as good as mine. But I think that joy may have been a threefold joy. When I look back over the life of Jesus Christ, there were three things toward the end of His life that compelled Him. One was to glorify His Father. Jesus would not have backed out on the cross because He knew it was the Father's will. Do you agree with that? He knew it was not an accident. He knew that it actually, according to Isaiah, would please the Father to bruise Him on an old rugged cross. But He also knew that He was going to be exalted after the crucifixion. John 17, He prays to be exalted with the glory that He had before with the Father. Amen. So he knew he wasn't going to stay down after death on that cross. He knew he was going to get back up and be seated at the right hand throne of the Father. And I think those were two things that was the joy set before him: the Father's glorification and the Son's exaltation and sinner's redemption. I really believe he died a death knowing he was going to redeem you to his Father. I don't believe for one second that old saying that Jesus would have died on that cross if no one would believe in him would be the point. Jesus did not come just to show us the Father loved us and make salvation possible. He came to save. Amen. And he came to deliver you and to rescue you from sin. And that was the joy set before him: our redemption, his exaltation, and the Father's glorification. Amen? Wow. You know where he is right now? He's seated at the right hand of God. And then the writer says in verse 3, consider him. Consider him. Now this word consider, it's interesting. It was used in the Roman world to talk about adding up a column of numbers. Have you ever heard the phrase, "Well, add it up"? Do you know that's an ancient phrase that we've not changed? We don't add up today, do we? We add down. I've never seen anybody put a column of numbers down and then add it up. We always go from top to bottom, right? But we don't say add it down, right? Never heard anybody say, "Well, add it down." No, we add it up. You know where we got that phrase? We got it from the Greek world. In Roman society, they had borrowed from the Greeks this ability to put numbers in a column. And guess what they did? They added them up. They started at the bottom and they went to the top. And it's from where we get our word analogy from. It's where we get our word analyze from. So what the Bible's saying is this: analyze Jesus. Add his life up. And what's it telling us to add up? Look what sinners said about him. And did he quit? No. How dare we grow weary and faint? How dare we think about quitting and dropping out when he didn't? And then he says this: for you have not yet resisted to bloodshed. Shedding of blood was a symbol of losing your life, giving your life, dying. See, it was getting bad in this little Jewish house church, but no one had been nailed to a cross yet like Jesus. You know what some of us need to do this morning? We need to get our eyes off our circumstances. We need to quit moping and belly aching about what's going on in our life. I know it's bad, and I know it hurts, and I know it's awful. But you either believe what Scripture says or not. This mountain you're going up right now, has it been placed there by God or not? Then if so, don't you quit. We got to get our eyes off us and get our eyes on Jesus. And as we get our eyes on Jesus, we'll have this amazing quality of perseverance. Amen. The righteous keep on keeping on because the righteous one kept on keeping on. Amen. Let's bow. Father, boy, I love this passage. I thank you for the freshness. I thank you for the new insights, Father. This is one of those passages that we've studied all our life. We've preached in revivals. We've preached at youth camps years ago with this passage. And yet, oh, you spoke volumes to me this week. And I pray you spoke volumes to your people this morning. I pray that we reanalyze this. I pray that we learn to apply. Father, we're going to ask our counselors to come and stand this morning to the right and left. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that you're dealing with who wants to step out and enter the race, make the choice to choose Christ knowing that you'll ordain a life for them. You've got a course for them. And they'll not discover it till they leave the Colosseum. Father, I believe someone may have been challenged this morning to begin the Christian life. Maybe a young man, it may be a young lady, it may be an old man or an older lady. Maybe a student. Maybe a married person, maybe a single person. God, we ask that you draw them to saving faith this morning. Just let them right now get up out of their seat and come to one of these counselors. And Father, while they're coming, I pray that there's Christians who just need to get up out of their seat and come down here and say, hey, I've forgotten that the main thing is to run the race. I have forgotten that the Christian life is agonizing. It's a marathon. It's not all pleasantry. Father, for that person who needs to step down here and see the cloud, for that person who needs to step down here and lay aside the weight and the sin, for that person who needs to step down here and say, I've got my focus off Jesus, you draw them right here, these steps. You draw them right now, Father. Do this in Jesus' name, Father. We're going to sit here just for a second and wait for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, anyone right now want to respond to the gospel? Miss Edwina's here. Kenny's here. You come. As this one's coming, maybe you just want to come and kneel in the steps. If you make a decision where you're at in your seat, after you make it, get up and come down here and just seal it. There's just something awesome about getting out of your seat and coming down here and bowing before God and sealing this thing. Anyone? I pray God's moved in your heart and life this morning. Maybe there's something you want to bring and you want to lay it right here at these steps. It may be a sin, it may be a weight. Have you found your optimal running weight yet? Can you honestly look at something that you thought was going to be a blessing that you now realize is a burden? What you actually thought was a blessing from God that you was going to use for His glory, you've now discovered it actually takes you away from running the race. Anyone else want to come? Anyone? God bless you.